You are listening to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible to be able to know what you believe and why you believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. And now we have Dr. Ben Pennington, founder and president of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry.
Welcome everyone to the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry podcast number 8. My name is Dr. Ben Pennington. The mission of the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry is to encourage Christians and non-believers to study the foundational principles in the Bible so they will be able to know what they believe and why they believe it. Our mission is to equip God's people for the work of serving and building up the body of Christ and to become more effective witnesses and save souls for Christ. That's Ephesians 4:11 and 12. Our ministry podcasts are covering lessons on foundational biblical doctrines and principles in the Bible, from the doctrine of creation in Genesis to the return of Christ in the book of Revelation. We upload blogs, study guides, and answer sheets each week that accompany our podcast to help you study the Word of God so you will know what you believe and why you believe it. Genesis is the book of beginnings. It records the beginning of time. It records the beginning of life. It records the beginning of sin. And it records the beginning of salvation. Almost all of the foundational biblical doctrines in the Bible are revealed in the book of Genesis and are further developed in other books as we read through our Holy Bible. As a result of that, our foundational biblical teaching ministry lessons will begin with the book of Genesis. So we've titled podcast number 8, In the Beginning, the Nature and Attributes of God. And we're going to begin by talking about the infinite power of our God. Go with me, please, to Genesis 1:1. It's a good place to begin. Genesis 1:1 says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So what are we saying here? Heaven can be defined as the expanse of space that is over the earth like a dome. Our solar system is the gravitationally bound system of the sun and the objects that orbit it, either directly or indirectly, including the 8 planets and the 5 dwarf planets as defined by the International Astronomical Union. A galaxy is a system of millions or billions of stars, together with gas and dust, held together by gravitational attraction. The Milky Way is the galaxy that contains our solar system. The Milky Way is a barred spiral galaxy with a diameter between 150,000 and 200,000 light years. It is estimated to contain 100 to 400 billion stars. There are probably at least 100 billion planets in the Milky Way. And I have news for you. The Milky Way is just one of many galaxies. So let's back this up again. Genesis 1:1 says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Hebrews 1:10 says it this way, In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Nehemiah 9:6 says, You alone are Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all the starry hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. Isaiah 66:1 says, Thus says the Lord, The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. God has revealed all of the attributes of his divinity to us. God is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. God is omnipresent. That means he is ever-present. God is infinite. We see the evidence daily in his creation. Mankind, with his finite knowledge, does not have the technology or the capability to count how many galaxies or stars that our infinite God has created. Isaiah 55:8-9 says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Which brings us to the question, who made God? I'm glad you asked. God is infinite and eternal. God always was, he is, and he always will be. A good way to describe the unique nature of God is to think of God as the uncaused first cause. Think of God as the uncaused first cause. God has always existed, and all things that are created were created by him. No one created God. Logically speaking, if someone created God, then the God of our Holy Bible would not be God. He would be a created being, and the person that created God would actually be God. But if that were the case, using the same logic, the person who created God of our Holy Bible would not be God, since someone else would have created him. So you see where that line of thinking would take us, to a logical dead end. Therefore, the only logical explanation for our infinite God of our Holy Bible is our God is the uncaused first cause. Everything begins and ends with him. Our all-powerful God created the world from nothing. Let me run that by you one more time. Our all-powerful God created the world from nothing. Theologians describe this concept or doctrine as ex nihilo. Let me spell that. E-X is one word, then nihilo. N-I-H-I-L-O. Theologians describe this concept or doctrine as ex nihilo, or the creation of something out of nothing. Everything that is created is in existence because God made it. If the heavens and the earth were already in existence in the beginning, then God would not have been the creator, because God would not have made them and someone else would have made them. But that is not the case. God is the creator of all things. The next question comes up, is it logical to believe in a God that no one has ever seen? Let me run that by you one more time. Is it logical to believe in a God that no one has ever seen? I'm glad you asked. Exodus 33:20, John 1:18, John 4:24, and 1 John 4:12 very clearly state that no one has ever seen God. Skeptics of Christianity are quick to point out, since no one has ever seen God, it's foolish to think that God actually exists. My response to skeptics is, have you ever seen gravity? Does gravity exist? Have you ever seen electricity? Does electricity exist? Have you ever seen radio waves? Does radio waves exist? Have you ever seen atomic particles? Do they exist? Have you ever seen oxygen? Does oxygen exist? My next response to skeptics is it logical to believe that if something is not visible to the human eye, that it does not exist? Let me run that by you one more time. My response to skeptics is it logical to believe that if something is invisible to the human eye, that it does not exist? I don't think so. Go with me to John 14. John 14, verse 1, and then drop down to 6 and 7. John 14, verse 1, and then 6 and 7. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him and have seen him. So what are we saying? No one has ever seen God the Father. However, Jesus Christ declared that when you see him, you have seen God. Let's move on to the next point. The name of our God in creation. The Hebrew name for God in Genesis 1:1 is Elohim. Let me spell that for you. E-L-O-H-I-M, Elohim. Elohim means that he is God the creator. He is the creator of the heavens. He's the creator of the earth. Everything begins and ends with him. He's over and above all. He's transcendent. He's everywhere at all times. And since God was there in the beginning when the heavens and the earth were created, God is also ever present or omnipresent. The name Elohim is used in scripture as a singular and plural pronoun. Let me repeat that again. The name Elohim is used in scripture as a singular and plural pronoun. God is plural, but God is one. Think about that for a minute. God is plural, but God is one. We will discuss this concept of a singular God in detail when we discuss the doctrine of the Trinity. The Hebrew name for God, Elohim, is used 35 times from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 2:3 in the narrative that discusses the creation of the world. God progressively reveals his nature through his names. As we read through Scripture, God progressively reveals himself, his nature, his attributes by his names. Progressive revelation is the teaching that God has revealed himself and his will through the Scriptures with an increasing clarity as more and more of the Scriptures were written. Or in other words, the later the writing, the more information about God is given. Therefore, God reveals knowledge of himself in a progressive manner throughout the Bible from the earliest time to later time. And this makes perfect sense, by the way, since we know that not everything God revealed to us was revealed right away in Genesis 1:1. He has revealed himself to us on a need-to-know basis, a need-to-know basis. So what are some of the names of God? He is Adonai, my great Lord. He is El Roy, the God who sees me. He is El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one that will meet my needs. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is Jehovah, YHWH, I am, the self-existent one. He is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who is healed. He is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. He is Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. He is Jehovah Shalom, our peace. He is Jehovah Nisi, the Lord my banner. He's the Ancient of Days. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And as you read through the Scriptures, God will progressively reveal his nature and his attributes through his various names. My next major point is God is the creator of time. God is the creator of time. God is the all-powerful, ever-present creator of all things. God created time when he created the heavens and the earth in the beginning. God is omnipresent, which means he exists inside as well as outside of time. Let me run that by you one more time. God exists inside as well as outside of time. He is everywhere in all times. He's not constrained by time. Humans are constrained by time. He's a present help in a time of trouble. Time had a beginning. And since time had a beginning, time will also have an ending. As such, time is temporary. Time is finite. There will come a time when we will run out of time. And time as we know it now will come to an end. What does our Holy Bible say about the end times? I'm glad you asked. Our Holy Bible is very clear on the fact that we will eventually run out of time. Go with me, please, to Revelation 20. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 says this. Then I saw a great white throne, and the one who sat on it, and the earth and the heaven fled from his presence, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And also another book was opened, the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, as recorded in the books. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And all were judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. And in case you didn't know, hell is pretty hot. Mark 9:48 says it this way. Hell is a place where the worms don't die and the fire never goes out. The fire is unquenchable. Everything that has a beginning will also have an ending. As I just read in Revelation 20, 11 through 15, that there will come a day in our future when time will end and there will be a judgment day. And everyone that has a name written in the book of life will live for eternity with God. And everyone that does not have their name written in the book of life will burn for eternity in hell, where the fire once again is unquenchable. Since God deals with the eternity, everyone that he created for eternity. The only question is, where will you spend your eternity? Will you spend it in heaven with God or in hell, burning forever? That's a very serious decision that everyone must make. So let's sum up the lesson for today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Our solar system and galaxy are part of the Milky Way. There are probably at least 100 billion planets in the Milky Way. The Milky Way is just one of many galaxies. Mankind is unable to accurately determine how many stars and galaxies are in existence. God has revealed all of the attributes of his divinity to us. He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's omnipresent. He is ever-present. God is the uncaused first cause and the creator of all things. No one made God. If someone made God, then the person who made God would be God. It is logical to believe in a God that we have never seen. We've never seen gravity. We've never seen radio waves. We've never seen electricity or atomic particles or oxygen, but they exist. It is not logical to believe that if something is invisible to the human eye, that it does not exist. The existence of God is evident and does not require us to be able to see him with the human eye for him to exist. No one has ever seen God the Father. However, Jesus Christ declared that when you see him, you've seen God. The Hebrew name for God in Genesis 1:1 is Elohim. Elohim means that he is God the Creator. The name Elohim is found 35 times from Genesis 1:1 to Genesis 2:3. As we read through Scripture, God will progressively reveal himself, his nature, and his attributes by his names. When God created time, he created the heavens and the earth. Time had a beginning, and since time had a beginning, time will also have an ending. There will come a time when we will run out of time, and time, as we now know it, will come to an end. Revelation 20:11-15 confirms that one day in our future, time will end, and everyone that has the name written in the book of life will live for eternity with God, and everyone that does not have their name written in the book of life will burn in eternity in hell. So everyone that God has created will live for eternity. The only question is where. If after hearing today's podcast, you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please repeat the salvation prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you today as a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is God. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. I'm asking for salvation through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. I accept him now as my personal Lord and Savior. I'm asking that you create in me a clean heart and renew within me a right spirit. I pray that I will lead a new life that will glorify and honor you daily. In the name of Jesus, I thank you and praise you. Amen, amen, amen. If you have accepted Christ, please visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. Click on the Salvation tab and download the ABCs of Salvation document along with the article, The Next Steps After Salvation. If you have any questions about the content discussed in today's podcast, or if you're seeking an answer to a specific Bible question, send me an email. We are also available for speaking engagements, conferences, and workshops. My email address is drben@foundationalbtm.org. That's drben at foundationalbtm.org. Please share our podcast on your social network platforms.
If you want additional information on today's podcast topic, feel free to visit our website at www.foundationalbtm.org and download our study guide and answer sheet that accompanies today's podcast topic. We upload new blogs, podcast study guides, and answer sheets weekly. If you would like to be notified when new materials have been uploaded, just click on the subscribe tab on our website. We are a listener-supported ministry. Please help the Foundational Biblical Teaching Ministry continue the work of teaching Bible lessons that equip us with information to help us know what we believe and why we believe it. You can make a donation to help the ongoing work of our ministry by visiting our website at www.foundationalbtm.org. That's FoundationalBTM.org. And click on the donation tab. Your generous contribution will be greatly appreciated and will help us continue the work of this ministry. And now, back to Dr. Ben.
The Holy Spirit and creation. Genesis 1, verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So my question is, what was the role of the Holy Spirit in creation? Is the Holy Spirit a thing, or is the Holy Spirit an actual person? Was the Holy Spirit a co-laborer, an active participant with God the Father during the creation of the heavens and the earth? Is the Holy Spirit God? Does the Holy Spirit possess all of the divine attributes of God the Father? What role does the Holy Spirit play throughout our Holy Bible? I'm glad you asked. We will answer these questions in our next blog and in our next podcast titled, In the Beginning, The Nature and Attributes of the Holy Spirit. Please share this podcast on your social network. This is Dr. Ben, signing off for now. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow.